If ever you walked through the doors of a church and were hoping to be healed, today is your day. Amen. And we have this gorgeous teaching that is all about believing, about a way, there's a universal law, a principle that always works. And today we're going to talk about that. So good morning. I am Reverend Karen Rice, and I am the spiritual leader of this community, and it is my very high honor and privilege to be here on this Easter Sunday to provide a space for great healing, for us to recognize the truth of our wholeness that already exists, that was given by this great teacher, a season of Lent that has now completed itself on Sunday morning, Easter Sunday morning. He is risen. And we look specifically at that idea of the risen consciousness, because what we know about Jesus as a great teacher, as a model for us, is that this is a life that was lived from that deep place of belief. Do you believe? And what is it that we desire to believe in? So we're going to dive pretty deep this morning, and it is my great privilege to be sharing the platform this morning with Reverend Renee Brooks, Morgan Brooks. Reverend Renee Morgan Brooks has a lot of names, and I love saying it, and usually it rolls right off my tongue. We're going to be looking at it in such a way that you have an opportunity today to change your life. Anybody here want some change in their life? So happy Easter. I gotta tell you, Reverend Renee, I love that you chose that song that you just sang, because I like that line. This is the part that gives me the chills every time. We have feared some things, but we've been moving mountains since before we knew we could. You know what that means? You know what that's saying? Is that we are constantly creating in our own lives, and that we really are at choice, and that everything we teach here, as Reverend Cheryl was telling me so eloquently last Thursday, it's about that V. It's about that V in our teaching symbol, the way all of life comes from that risen consciousness, that truth of the one mind, one presence, one power, and that we are created in the image and the likeness of that, and we therefore have that creative power. We have that completely, fully within us, even in this moment. We really have nothing to be healed. We just need to remember this truth, and at any point that we remember this vibrancy of this truth, then we are aligned to this teaching, and not just religious science, not just new thought, but all of the great metaphysicians and those who dared to see the transcendentalists, all of the classic philosophers, all of those who were willing to see beyond organized religion into that very personal and intimate truth and the way we are connected to that one essence. So the title of the message today is Roots and Wings. We're talking about roots and wings here today, because you know what happens when you plant a seed? Any seed of possibility that we plant, we put in the ground. If you're going to plant a garden, you put seeds in the ground and then you cover them with the soil. And the seeds are in the dark. And so as we have seeds of possibility in our own lives and we move through challenges or trials, or sometimes we feel crucified, sometimes we have something that feels pretty much like a big betrayal or a huge disappointment, and it seems pretty dark, and it feels like we might be in that tomb. But it is in the dark where those seeds take root. And the roots grow down, and then they spread out. And you know what those roots do? Those roots support that which is sprouting, that new life that is coming into form. those roots are that part that connect the plant, the life, to the earth, so that it can be sustained, that it can be fueled, that there can be life there. And when there is life activated in that sprout that is coming up, we see new life. It is a rebirth of sorts. And we grow wings. In the personal journey, when we have been in that tomb and it becomes the womb of rebirth, it's like those roots sustain us while we grow wings so that we might ascend to that higher consciousness, that we might remember to look up to that greater truth. Do you know what the Christian cross is? Do you know that beautiful sacred symbol of the cross is so not about the crucifixion? That cross had symbol long before Christ was crucified. That cross has that one symbol that is vertical that then is crossed over with the horizontal. And at the place where the vertical and the horizontal meet, there is an intersection. And we, as we stand erect on this planet, on the earth, in form, as we stand here in this vertical way of this upward gaze, we represent that cross line. That we, as human beings, are the intersection of the human and the divine. We are the place where that comes into expression on earth. Now, as we look at this idea of roots and wings and things sprouting and rooting out and growing life, I would say that it's important for us to also take a moment to look at the origins of this holiday, which actually comes long before it had a Christian connection. It was a pagan goddess named Esther, who this holiday is actually named after. And I would say to you that, you know what I think? I think that this particular holiday is the most gorgeous blend of the pagan, the pagan tradition and the religious rituals, or the other way around. The rituals and the traditions all come together in this glorious way, and we celebrate that. We can hide eggs. For the Easter bunny comes and hides eggs for the children, and then we can color the eggs, and we can have the chocolate. Who doesn't like chocolate? You know, can I hear an amen? That, especially that dark chocolate, if it's got some nuts in it, I'm there. So we can take those early traditions and put them in this gorgeous, reverent setting and blend it all together. And there's no other time of year that we do it quite as well as this. I think Christmas is a close second, but I think this day does it all. Now, you know, in the origins of this idea of what is a pagan? Now, I notice that there are a lot of religious traditions that consider pagans and heathens the bad guys. But you know who the pagans were originally? The pagans were the country folk. They just didn't live in the big town. They typically didn't have funds. They weren't the wealthy people. They lived off the land. So we're talking about the earth-based spirituality, but we're also looking at look at the indigenous tribes that had this sacred relationship with the earth, that knew about the oneness that we share with this planet. And so the whole idea of pagan as being not good or opposite of religion is just hogwash. You know, I read a quote when I was doing my research, and somebody asked a question to some expert. I don't know who it was. It was more than you, honey. I didn't Google. I Googled. And somebody asked this expert a question and said, "So is a pagan a witch?" And the very smart response to that was, well, a pagan may be a witch in as much as a Christian could be a Catholic. So the way that we take things and shift them and change them and make them good or bad is sort of humorous when you begin to look at the origins of things. So Easter is this great time of fertility, of new life, of roots and wings and all things in full bloom. All things, even here in the desert, things are blooming like crazy. And I notice that in my backyard, there are birds chirping. I can hear little baby birds in nests. And I see little baby lizards all over that wall. And those lizards are on that wall basking in the sun because it is the light is back. The days are longer and warmer. And it is a time of beauty and celebration and joy. The days of suffering are complete. A risen Christ, the Course in Miracles says, is a symbol to look upon oneself as healed and whole. And I want to give you this quote from Ernest Holmes regarding the resurrection. From the cross, something triumphant emerges. Shall we not then go forth with joy to meet this new day, endeavoring to embody the Spirit of Christ, that the divine in us shall rise triumphant, resurrected to live forever? Amen. You got something to say about that?
A little something. I just want to rise to remind you of who you really are, the origin from which you really come from. You know, we think we are Irish, and we think that we're this, and we think that we're that. But long before that even happened, you were a spirit. Yeah. I'll prove it to you for those of you who don't know how to say amen. So here you are. Here we are in the beginning. You know those 7 days in the beginning? Well, it said on the sixth day, let us make man in our own image. In the image of God created he them, male and female. That's what it says. I won't get into that this morning. Male and female created he them. He blessed it, called it good.
That's right.
It was done. Now, if you have to go to find out what God is, then you go to John, because we understand that God is a spirit. And those that worship him or would be like him or would align with him must do so in spirit. And in truth. That's what it says. I didn't make that up. Okay, somebody knows what I'm talking about. Thank you, God. So here we have the sixth day. He calls it good. On the seventh day, he does what? Takes a rest. It's not till you get to the second chapter and the seventh verse that a man was needed to till the soil. Now, if a man or mankind was needed. So whatever this other thing is, it was created here to walk the earth. Am I clear? Yeah. The form came about because a form was needed to be on earth. And then it said, he blew into mankind's body the breath of life.
Yes.
And mankind became a living soul. Hmm. So this breath you have is the gift of God. But make no mistake about it, my beloveds, you are born in the image and likeness of God as a spirit in form.
Amen.
And I would dare to say that along the path that you have traveled in this journey, because this journey, your soul has been the record of your spirit's journey on earth. Hello?
Hello.
Got it? That's what your soul is. But your spirit is part of God, not one with, not in, of. Which means that everything you are, and it's your thoughts. Why? Because God is a creative intelligence. Yes? And so you are a creative intelligence. And I don't really care what they said you were, how they talked about you, what they said you couldn't do. It's not true unless you say it is.
Yes. Yes.
And so the beloved came to us because as we journeyed in this experience of earth, we lost our way. And the greatest thing that gripped us was death. And so the beloved came as Yeshua and said, listen, here's what I'm going to do about this. I'm going to walk this path for you, but I want you to know I'm going to conquer death. And so on this day, he got up, he rose. He rose. Do you hear me? He rose. And if he did it, so can we. From any of those things that want to hold us captive, from any of those things where we get stuck, you're only stuck because you don't know enough of yourself as God. He said to us, if you believe in me, this work and greater work shall you do.
That's right.
You only have to do one thing. Keep your eyes on me.
Roots and wings. Those roots are nurtured in the dark until something of substance sprouts, comes to life. Once that life is activated, what happens? Continues to move toward the light. That's the way life works. So we all have challenges. We all have moments of being in the darkness. And now we realize that that's the place where we get to grow those roots, because we're not doing that alone. We got something in us, an innate wisdom in every cell of our being that knows how to grow those roots and carry us through those times, through the dark, until some new life sprouts and is activated. And then we rise toward the light yet again, because new light knows how to feed life, and new life knows how to grow toward that light. They call it photosynthesis in science. You know, you study a little botany or something. We call that photosynthesis. I call it rising to meet your God. You know what photosynthesis is? It says it's a process that's used by plants and other organisms. I guess we're other.
Yeah.
Yeah. And to convert light energy into chemical energy so that that energy can then fuel that organism's activities. So now let's look at that and the way that that fits with us. So what do we know about spirit? You know, we don't see God as an entity, as a person looking something up there somewhere. We let that go and we expand what we believe. And the minute that we start to see that, what does it mean to say that God is everywhere present, means that that activity of life, of photosynthesis, of creating new life, of growing toward the sun, toward the light, toward that God stuff, is a natural expression of the life that we are. So God as an energy, that infinite wisdom in the cells of our body, God as an energy then is creating transformation constantly. It never ceases. It's always active, always working. And so that light energy then, that divine light, is used to sustain our lives. This is the divine life. This is the activity of life itself. It's how all life exists. Nothing would exist without that process. So just in the same way that a plant will then, once it sprouts through the ground, will know how to grow toward the light, we too, on our spiritual journey, move through our trials, allow that tomb to become the womb, and we grow toward the light as well. Everything in us is divine, and we are therefore divinely urged to face the light, to get up, to rise and meet our God in a new way from a higher perspective. And it's not something we have to work toward. We already are all that. You got something more you want to say?
Here, I'll tell you this. So to be fueled is to allow the presence of God to move through you. love. Don't leave home without it, but don't try to do it on your own. Don't try to do this on your own. You're going to run out. While you are eternal and while you are certainly immortal, you and you are still finite compared, hooked up to the infinite. Oh, yes, nice. You are God. You're just not all that God is. Yeah. However, you have access to all that God is. If you went another church today, you'd be praying to God. But because you are here, we accept the fact that we are this part of the divine, so we pray from God. Amen. If you went another church today, you'd be looking at the fact that Jesus is your Redeemer and your Savior and the exception. But you are here today, and what we know is that the Beloved is our example. If you went another place today, you'd be talking to you as a follower of Christ. But what we know to be the truth is that we are the family.
Oh, nice. Yes. Yeah.
We are the family of Christ. So how do we move on through this and allow this ourselves to be fueled by and step into our greatness? Well, you know, the Beloved blessed us, and he said to us, seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and its righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And then he said to us, in all thy ways, acknowledge God. And she will direct your path. For some of you who have seen The Shack, you know the Beloved Spirit took on form.
Yes.
She took on a form that she knew he would be comfortable with. Mm-hmm. He wouldn't feel challenged by.
Yes.
Any form that you needed to come in, I will guarantee you the Spirit will show up and be that for
you. That's right. That's right.
But you can't lean to your own understanding. It says lean not to your own understanding. And in doing all this, I must tell you, you will become a new creature. Your friends and your folks won't understand. There is a certain kind of rebirth, that born again thing that we used to push up against. I got to tell you. It takes on a new form in you.
Yes.
And there's something new about you.
That's right.
And you'll walk through places you never thought you could.
Mm-hmm.
But you must believe, my beloveds. You must believe that you are connected to the source of all power, that there is but one life. And that life is God. And that life is my life. When?
That life when? Is my life now.
I'm done.
Woo! Yeah, I was just going to say, you must believe. We must believe. I mean, we don't have to, but wow, why wouldn't we? So I wanted to close this morning with a quote from Charles Fillmore from his book on Lent, comes from Unity. And Charles Fillmore says this, as I dwell upon this all-knowing faculty within, I become conscious of the Christ radiance. Lighting my mind and my whole being is illumined. My thoughts are quickened through this conscious relationship with Spirit. I am flooded with new life, which raises my organism above the disintegrating thought currents of the earth. We rise above all that useless thinking and worrying and the concerns that we carry around that feel so heavy. We rise today, we rise because we believe and we know that which we believe. It's Easter. It's a single day in a year, but I adore the opportunity to revisit these basic truths. you already are all that you need to be. You have already been given all the gifts of the kingdom. Heaven is not a reward that we get later. And these holidays become a beautiful way for us to be reborn in the way we are uplifted and inspired and transformed by the renewing of our minds. And so Easter has a pretty bold message. And I love all of Easter, from the most religious celebration to the playing with the grandchildren. But I believe that most of all, Easter is a bold invitation to each of us to live, to rise, to be transformed and to thrive, and to give thanks. Shall we give us some thanks right now? Would you like to join me in anchoring all of these great ideas in the words of prayer? Whoa, so I'm going to invite you just to get comfortable right where you're seated even now. As we shift the energy a little bit here, we got it, we feel it, we know it, we own it. And I just recognize right here and right now that there is a power that is greater than we are. It is spirit itself. It is right here in this room. I feel it within me as the love of God. It is that activity of love that courses through us, not just on this special day of the risen consciousness, but always and in all ways. I feel the love of God within me. It is the movement of the Holy Spirit that has awakened that higher awareness within. It is the truth of my being. It is the truth of each person sitting in a chair in this sanctuary. It is the truth of every living being, every blade of grass, of the wing of a bird or a fish in the water. Life rising, holding, healing, perfecting, revealing itself in so many ways, imagined and unimagined. And in this day, we open ourselves to be vessels to receive that good, to open ourselves to be aware of the grace of God streaming, pouring into our lives. It is this awakened consciousness, this risen perspective that allows us to forgive those misunderstandings or those hurts. It is that which allows us to see there are no limitations in this planet, in this beautiful divine life. And that where there is illness, there is wholeness and perfection being revealed even now. So I stand here boldly claiming for this spiritual community the highest well-being, for the individuals connected to this spiritual community and the people that we love, that they too are touched by the power of these words and this prayer. I feel the love of God.
Thank you.